The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings. When your relapsing multiple sclerosis begins to change, how you treat it should change too. Think beyond relapses and choose a treatment that can help delay disability progression. Find out more at changesinrms.com.
My name is Jennifer Powell. I am a columnist with Multiple Sclerosis News Today. Today, I will be discussing how multiple sclerosis has three distinct subtypes as shown by an AI report. Using artificial intelligence, or AI, on imaging data collected from multiple sclerosis patients, researchers were able to classify these people into three new disease subtypes, each distinct from the current groupings determined by symptoms. These new subtypes may allow for doctors to better determine those patients more likely to have disease progression and which treatments might benefit an individual. The study, identifying multiple sclerosis subtypes using unsupervised machine learning and MRI data, was published in Nature Communications. Historically, MS has been classified into types based on how the disease presents in the clinic, but this classification doesn't account for the underlying cause of disease, which can make it hard to determine optimal treatment. Currently, MS is classified broadly into progressive and relapsing groups, which are based on patient symptoms. It does not directly rely on the underlying biology of the disease and therefore cannot assist doctors in choosing the right treatment for the right patient, Arman Issaji, MD, PhD, a co-author of the new study, said in a press release. Here, we used artificial intelligence and asked the questions, can AI find MS subtypes that follow a certain pattern on brain images, says Issaji, a senior research fellow at University College London. Researchers took brain imaging data obtained through magnetic resonance imaging during various clinical trials covering 6,322 people with MS. They then fed these data into an AI program. The program was designed to look for patterns in brain images over time and to find statistically meaningful connections between these patterns and clinical outcomes. AI identified three distinct MS subtypes as a cortex-led subtype characterized by early tissue shrinkage or atrophy in the outer layer of the brain, a normal-appearing white matter-led subtype characterized by diffuse tissue irregularities in the middle of the brain, and a lesion-led subtype characterized by early and extensive accumulation of areas of brain damage or lesion load followed by severe atrophy in several brain regions. These subtypes were further validated with data from another 3,068 MS patients, all clinically and demographically similar to the first group used to train the AI. In both datasets, the cortex-led subtype was most common and the lesion-led subtype the most aggressive, but also the subtype most likely to show treatment response among relapsing and progressive patients in clinical trials. No differences were seen among the three subtypes in terms of patient age or sex. Compared to those with the two other subtypes, individuals with lesion-led MS has significantly greater disability as assessed with the expanded disability status scale, the longest disease duration, and more brain lesions across time points. Atrophy was also more extensive in these patients, who had smaller brains and less volume in other brain regions. The lesion-led subtype also was linked with a faster rate of disability progression. Individuals with this subtype were about 30% more likely than those with the cortex-led subtype to have confirmed disability progression after 24 weeks. Disease activity, including both relapse rates and the appearance of brain lesions, was higher in lesion-led MS than in the other subtypes. The researchers also demonstrated that the imaging-based data could be combined with other clinical data to further improve disability-related prognoses. Notably, these MRI-based subtypes were better at predicting disability progression than the four types of MS now in wide use: clinically isolated syndrome, relapsing-remitting MS, secondary progressive MS, and primary progressive MS. Because the researchers used clinical trial data, they were able to make preliminary estimates of treatment response using these subtypes. Finding indicated that trial patients with the lesion-led subtype were more responsive to treatments that included Ocrevus, Tysabri, and Rituxan. Lesion-led patients given the active treatment had slower disability progression than those with the subtype given a placebo or other comparator. No such difference was found among people in the other two subtypes. We have identified MRI-based subtypes that provide insight into the pathobiological mechanisms of MS and predict disease activity, disability progression, and treatment response better than conventional clinical phenotypes, the researchers concluded. Since MRIs are part of routine care for MS patients, these subtypes could easily be integrated into using existing clinical practice and in clinical trials testing new MS therapies. With the help of AI and large data sets, we have made a first step toward better understanding of the underlying disease mechanisms, which may inform our current clinical classification. This is a fantastic achievement and has the potential to be a real game changer, informing both disease evolution and a selection of patients for clinical trials, Alan Thompson, MD, study co-author, and dean of UCL Facility of Brain Sciences, said in a separate press release.
Coming up next, perspectives from MS News Today columnist Jesse Ace.
You always do what you can to keep your relapsing multiple sclerosis in check. But if your relapsing MS is starting to change, it can affect your mind and body in new and different ways. So it's important to choose a treatment that goes beyond relapses, one that can help you stay ahead of disability progression. Take charge of your relapsing multiple sclerosis. Learn more at changesinrms.com.
Hey, I'm Jesse Ace, columnist for MS News Today, and today I'll be reading from Jennifer Powell's column, Silver Linings. Laughter is good medicine, levity in an MS life. If laughter is the best medicine, then I have a functional pharmacy. I love to laugh and I enjoy humour. If you're a friend of mine, then you know my dry wit. I use that wit to shield anxiety and fear. I ease the tension by creating humour, and I've met many a solemn doctor only to leave them chuckling. It is fulfilling to leave others with a smile. A friend once said this should be my peacekeeping mission. My disease is progressing. This is manifested in elevated pain levels, consistent fatigue, and cognitive deficiencies. While I've learnt to adapt, the process breaks my heart. MS is a beast, but it does not define me. This is a lifelong companion, so I must find ways to coexist. I have the ability to trip over air. I'm cool like that. My mother says to walk slower. If I walk any slower, I will lose time. I recall being in the grocery store, pursuing greetings cards. There were many Christmas displays at the time throughout the aisles. In true MS fashion, I crossed lanes and wove right into one. I stood as the rolls of tape made their way across the floor. Embarrassed, I picked up a roll and said, "Found it!" In my own way, I tamed the beast. I once found myself at an MRI without shoes. It was a hot summer's day and my husband had driven me to the lab. Not sure why I missed the key fact before entering, but alas, I noticed. As I sheepishly approached the counter, the woman looked at my feet. A bit nervous, I blurted out that nothing matched. As if that were possible. There are two shoes. She burst into tears and I felt better. At that moment, my forgetfulness was not scary, but rather served as a conduit for smiles. Laughter is known to increase endorphins, and these naturally occurring hormones are released every time we experience joy. Studies have shown that endorphins can reduce pain and stress. Laughter has also been shown to increase our pain threshold. I can attest to this. So aside from improving our psyche, we can also improve our physical health. As my disease progresses, my need for levity has followed suit. What began as deflection is now almost innate. It helps me navigate what would otherwise leave me leveled. While those days exist, my overall being is not dominated by my painful experiences, although there are times it comes close. On those days, I trade humour for tears. I tap into the sadness and the fear I try so hard to manage, and I let go. There is a time and a place for every emotion. Navigating any illness is challenging. So often, our lives are hijacked without warning. We are forced to repeatedly adapt to conditions most would be unable to handle. Humour has allowed me to let go of some of that stress. It has offered an alternative to suffering. I derive such joy in making others smile. It's quite the juxtaposition. Humour affords the ability to laugh at what I would also cry over. It invites a perspective that I would have otherwise missed. And in some infinitesimal way, it assures me that I will be okay. Now, if only I could remember my shoes.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.